Good evening. I open the show tonight in Tehran, figuratively. I speak with Ben and Ben Talablu. Iran is the driver of chaos in the Middle East and the Red Sea, in Europe soon enough. Throughout the world, Iran is always in the story as a bad actor. We begin with Iran and the bomb at Soleimani's commemoration in Iran, probably planted by ISIS. No confirmation yet, but that is the assertion. And then there's the bomb or the targeted killing of a man named Al-Aruri, a bad character, in Beirut. Hamas gangster, working liaison with Hezbollah in Iran. And there's more violence to talk about. Certainly the threat of Hezbollah to attack Israel is an extension of Iran's bad acting. Certainly the support of Hamas, all of Hamas's money is Iran. And then we turn to the Houthis consulting with Iran about more attacks on the Red Sea shipping. And Benham introduces me to the speculation that Iran is now in negotiation with Moscow to sell ballistic missiles to Moscow to use against Kiev. We turn from Iran and its bad acting to the question of Russia's money. There is $370 billion worth of Russian assets overseas, outside of the reach of the Kremlin. It has been parked there since the beginning of the war. What is to be done? Initially, the G7, G20 rejected the idea of confiscating. But now the G7 is studying the idea again, to do it legally or to do it in some fashion. There are problems with it. One, the EU or the NATO or the US that would be confiscating is not at war with Russia. So we're looking at a third party claiming it is a grievance. Now, at the beginning of the First World War and the Second World War, Germany claimed U.S. assets and U.S. claimed Germany's assets. Declaration of war means you forfeit what you've got in that other country until later time. That did not happen. So, confiscating $350 billion for what? To pay for Ukraine, because Ukraine can't win money, according to the Congress in Washington and according to the Parliament in Brussels, can't win money from its allies. So it's a pending question. And then Chris Riegel joins me for the Scholar Report. News coming that Google, the all-powerful supreme advertiser, Google and search engine, is looking at layoffs between 12 and 30,000. Why? Because large language models, artificial intelligence, does the work without needing human beings. This is chiefly in the sales force. More to be learned about this. Chris assures me this is going to be something that all of tech will look at. High-end tech, using AI. The profits will increase, and the workforce will find other labors. Creative destruction, Chris reminds me. And then, conversation with Malcolm Honlein and his colleagues. There's Yaakov Lapin talking about Hezbollah, Nasrallah making threats after the Al-Aruri targeted killing, and Hadin Gadar talking about Lebanon. And again, the question of what is Nasrallah going to do? He promises to punish Israel. That could look like anything. Yossi Kupferwasser, the retired Brigadier General of Intelligence, joins to say, watching Hezbollah carefully, we're pulling 5 brigades out of Gaza because we've secured the North Gaza, the IDF. Yossi gives some facts. 10,000 killed in action, Hamas. Many more thousand captured, POWs. But Hamas is damaged, not broken. The war continues in the south of the country. We also talked about the passageway called the Rafah Crossing into Egypt. Yossi's of the opinion, the IDF's of the opinion, that they must secure it. And never again can that be allowed in the hands of bad actors in Gaza, the Rafah crossing ahead of us. And then a question that Ariel Kahana raises about Jordan. Apparently Iran and Iraq are smuggling weapons through Jordan into the West Bank, into Ramallah. And that front is the largest border that Israel has, a 190-mile border with Jordan. How do you police it? In the third hour, a fun conversation with Bob Zimmerman, Robert Zimmerman. His book, in the beginning of this century, Genesis 8, we celebrate Genesis, Apollo 8, the one that read the Genesis as it came around the moon. This is a celebration of NASA back when we had a computer back in 1968. We had a computer on board that wasn't as powerful as the simplest adding machine that came up 20 years ago. We had three young men, who were eager to get the job done, but they saw their mission as victory for the moon race. Circling the moon, the farthest mankind had ever gone, outside of Earth orbit, circling the moon and coming back. They saw the mission, in fact, as 50-50. That's what kind of risk NASA took in Christmas of 1968. It's a fun discussion. It'll continue tomorrow. Finally, I turn to a conversation about Ukraine conflict with Anatol Levin. Berlin is flagging in its support, obviously. They want to get back to Russian energy. The German economy is flat on its back. Washington is flagging with support. Hence, the package that the president has asked for has not been approved by Congress. Congress puts it this way. We've got a peer, near peer, or a peer rival in China. There's nothing like that in Kyiv. Spending our resources in Kyiv doesn't prevent China from attacking Taiwan, is the argument. And finally, Henry Sokolsky, my colleague of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, lessons learned from nuclear power, nuclear weapons, nuclear energy, and Vladimir Putin over 2023 going into 2024 about nuclear weapons. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.